Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Allison Keyes in Washington. Severe thunderstorms in parts of the nation are making travel a nightmare for people trying to get home from the July 4th holiday, some of whom got caught in horrific delays over the weekend. At Buffalo's airport, a power outage didn't help.
It's never like this here. This is just a huge shocker. Like, it's nothing I've ever seen before.
Philadelphia's district attorney, Larry Krasner, is trying to reassure a rattled public after an armed, masked, and armored gunman opened fire on the city streets, randomly killing five people.
Someone back there, while we were getting ready, said the bullets don't care, but we do. I'd say that's about right. The bullets don't care, but we do. And I know the rest of this city does, and I know the rest of this country does.
People at the beaches on Long Island in New York are scared to put their toes in the water after a series of shark attacks. CBS's Lilia Luciano with more.
Despite what would seem like an uptick in encounters over the past few days, shark attacks on humans are highly unlikely, says shark researcher Gavin Naylor.
You're about 200 times more likely to drown than you are to be bitten by a shark.
But there are things you can do to avoid an encounter.
Never swim alone. You shouldn't swim too far offshore. You shouldn't swim where there are schooling fishes.
L.A. sheriff's deputies are under scrutiny over their response during an arrest over an alleged shoplifting incident. CBS's Elaine Cajano.
Get down on the ground. Get on the ground.
It's already on YouTube.
Stop.
Live.
I don't give a stop. Stop and get punched in the face.
The deputy's knee can be seen on the woman's neck.
I can't breathe.
The deputy then douses the woman with what appears to be pepper spray and then places her in handcuffs. Both deputies in the incident, who have not been identified, have been reassigned from field duty pending the outcome of the investigation.
Disturbing new details about a suspect in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol who was arrested outside of the home of former President Obama. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
The Department of Justice makes a series of new arguments to hold January 6th defendant Taylor Toronto of Washington State in jail pending trial. They say he was caught outside the home of former President Obama in D.C. last week. They say his van had two guns and hundreds of rounds of ammo. They say he was menacing a Maryland elementary school, threatening a Department of Commerce facility in Maryland, and Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
If you felt sweaty during Independence Day celebrations, you are far from alone. Scientists say July 4th was the hottest day on Earth in some 125,000 years. The global average temperature was nearly 63 degrees Fahrenheit. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Mornings were made for better things than rheumatoid arthritis or RA. Xeljanz tofacitinib is a pill for adults with moderate to severe RA when tumor necrosis factor blockers did not work well or could not be tolerated. Xeljanz can help relieve joint pain, swelling, and help stop further joint damage. Xeljanz can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Before and during treatment, your doctor should check for infections like TB and do blood tests. Serious, sometimes fatal infections, cancers including lymphoma and lung, blood clots, serious heart-related events, tears in the stomach or intestines, and allergic reactions have happened. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors have an increased risk of death. Tell your doctor if you've had hepatitis B or C, have flu-like symptoms, are prone to infections, or have ever had a heart attack, stroke, clot, or other heart problems, or swelling of lips, tongue, throat, or hives. Ask your doctor about prescription Xeljanz. Visit Xeljanz.com or call 1-844-XELJANZ.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, July 6th. In Wood County, the Conservation, Education, and Economic Development Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse. The Highway Infrastructure and Recreation Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the Highway Department Conference Room. The Judicial and Legislative Committee will meet at 11 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. The Wisconsin Rapids Planning Commission will meet at 4 in the Council Chambers at City Hall, followed by the Public Works Committee meeting at 5. In Portage County, the Commission on Aging, Aging and Disability Resource Center special board meeting will take place at 4 p.m. The Human Resources Committee meeting, scheduled for 5, has been canceled. The Stevens Point Special Common Council meeting is scheduled for 5:45 in the Community Room on Michigan Avenue. The City Plan Commission meeting will begin at 6. In Adams County, the Airport Commission public petition hearing and meeting will begin at 5. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 56. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 76. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 49. Temps near average Friday and Saturday with highs from the upper 70s to the low 80s. Chance for scattered rain showers Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 72.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 5th, 2023. Got your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the mic. We are joined today by the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have with us our good friend, Sheriff Sean Becker. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. Always a pleasure to be here, James.
Good afternoon, I should say. I keep doing that. Everybody knows we're recording in the morning. Yeah. So, I mean, it's understandable. But good morning, good afternoon, good tidings to you, sir. Let's bring that back. Good tidings. Let's bring that back.
A little early for that. They do Christmas in July somewhere, I'm sure.
We say good tidings to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Encourage you to get on over to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to that page, keep up to date on all the great work that they are doing over there. Appreciate Joe and everybody over there doing that. Thanks for being here today. Sir, how have you been?
Good. You know, with the holiday weekend, personally, it was really, it was nice. I got to spend a lot of time with family. Between my in-laws, and we always take the opportunity on the 4th to get together at our family cottage and just enjoy ourselves, do some boating. This year was a little special. My wife's cousin, Jill Schauer, came to spend the weekend with us. She lost her husband unexpectedly at 59. Randy passed away a few months ago, and she's been really struggling, understandably. They were very close, and it's just too young of an age to just die suddenly. And he's a good friend of ours, part of our family. And she decided to make the weekend, and, we had our ups and downs, but we got through it, and it was nice to have her come out. So Julie did a nice job, spending the time with her. They're very close. My wife, Julie, and Jill are very close. But, aside from that, her coming out and spending the time with us, it was a great moment for us to just, for everybody to be together, kind of reminisce and do her thing.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that for her, for her healing, and to hear that for you guys as well, because it sounds like it meant something for you as well.
Oh, definitely.
Thank you for sharing.
We're very close, but for the weekend, personally, we had a great time. Yesterday, Jewel and I had to sit and just kind of relax a little bit, down the boat that much, and the weather was awesome. We had just a little bit of some weather on, I think it was Monday, and that wasn't too bad. We thought yesterday we were going to get something, but no, when you get to my age, you gotta relax a little bit once in a while.
Boy, I hear you.
Yeah.
I was unable to relax yesterday. I've spent half my life in this town, and you and I and just about any local in this area, we go out of our way or look for opportunities to highlight our area. It's a big part of what I do on the radio here. It's a big part of what I do off the radio is promoting local, supporting local, and very rarely do you hear me take shots at anything regarding Central Wisconsin. And I'm not trying to do that here, but I do no good to anybody if all I ever do is walk around and treat this show or treat anything I do on the air with kid gloves. And I've spent half my life here. I've gone to the 4th of July celebrations almost every year I've been here in town, but I've always walked down there. My friends and I, that's what we just traditionally have always done. We'll park at my buddy's house. He lives by the hospital. We'll walk over there from there, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Yesterday, I didn't have a chance to attend the festivities, but I was driving. I just happened to be driving through town as the fireworks ended. And first, I'd like to thank the city for giving me some nostalgia, because I forgot what it was like to drive in Chicago. it was nice to have a little reminiscing there. But what bothered me was the lack of care, the lack of knowledge of cars.
Yeah.
The way, and especially some younger people, and it's not me picking on the younger generation and yelling at them and old man yelling at cloud. I don't want to see people getting hurt. I don't want to see. And I would be complaining about it in Chicago as much as I would be here. I've never seen our city like this. I did not know we had this in us. Now, to many locals, maybe this is just the way it always is every year. It's just a zoo and crazy. But I've never seen so much congestion, so much disorganization, and so much just confusion with people in parts of downtown. Not the whole area downtown. Where I was on the side of the bridge coming down right by the post office and around there. And I don't say this as any critiquing of any officials or anything like that, because I think in society, we lean on our governments, we lean on our law officials a lot, but there are certain things where they can only do so much.
Right.
And you've got to understand what a walkway is. Like, I don't put that on municipalities and things like that. I put that on human beings.
Sure.
Is there an issue with this year in and year after the 4th usually? And how was our current 4th? Did we have any hiccups or anything?
Yeah, well, to answer the second part of the question, no, we really didn't.
Good.
You know, throughout the whole weekend, you know, from our end in law enforcement, it wasn't very busy, and that's a good thing.
Yeah,
you know, it's a really good thing. We didn't get lots of complaints of people, you know, lighting off fireworks at unreasonable times or being unsafe about it. I mean, as we all know, basically anything that you light that leaves the ground is technically illegal. But we didn't get a ton of those complaints, you know, throughout the weekend, and especially yesterday. So, you know, overall, you know, for law enforcement wise, things went really well over the weekend. It's kind of weird having your 4th on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Most people are taking, you know, extra time off. I know a lot of places were busy yesterday throughout the whole day. But again, overall, you know, reaching out to Wisconsin Rapids Police Department and, you know, our end, it wasn't overall a bad weekend for us as far as law enforcement. I can't say outside of beyond Wood County, you know, there was issues that we probably all seen in the media, but locally, that's where we can brag and say, you know, we did some good things. But, you know, when you talk about the pedestrian traffic and, you know, motor vehicle traffic and altogether, that's concerning with what you said, because, you know, we'll segue here in a minute to a couple hit and runs that we dealt with recently, but that's what worries us. You know, law enforcement, if you have, it could be any driver, a younger driver or anybody, if they're not paying attention to, you know, the surroundings, especially when you're talking about thousands of people being in one area, that can be concerning. You know, and what we try to do is we work with the city. You know, they put on an awesome event. They have for years.
Yeah.
You know, they do plan for this. You know, and like I said, we provide, you know, extra patrol, and maybe for next year, you know, we talk a little bit more off air. Okay, what areas did you see that were concerning?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we can get some law enforcement people there just to assist with traffic. You know, get the pedestrian people out first, right? Because that's where the majority of the people are going to be, downtown, obviously. You know, that's where you want to see, you know, the fireworks. That's where you're going to get your best view. But again, when you put that many people, thousands of people in one area, and what happens when the fireworks are over? Well, it's a mass exit. You know, everybody wants to get out of there. It's, you know, 10, it's after 10, you know, families want to get out, and I get it. You know, so, you know, maybe that's something that we can take back and improve on, you know, every year. But I think the city overall does an outstanding job providing an event, you know, every year. I think the views are spectacular when you have a river to, you know, shoot your fireworks off. Just a great venue. You know, and again, that's something that we can work on.
Yeah, it's a true credit to the, just looking at Central Wisconsin here, Rapids in general. It's a credit to the mayor, to his team, to everybody that pulls this off and did such a great job with it. I appreciate too that I live in an area where we can take this kind of feedback as I mean it, as it's intended. It's not a critique. It's an awareness thing. You know, let's go ahead and get into those hit and runs, because this is where, this is part of the reason why it's so intense to me and serious to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, going back through my career, I was an accident reconstructionist for several years when I was on patrol, and being called to, you know, those serious injury crashes or fatalities, you don't forget them, especially when you're putting a motor vehicle hitting a pedestrian. I think we can assume what's most likely going to happen. So that's concerning. And then, yeah, recently we had a couple situations, that one on George Road where a mother and a child were walking on George Road, and she got hit by a truck and got some serious injuries. She had to be airlifted from the scene. Her five-year-old witnessed this, you know, and of course we responded. The city assisted us. We got investigators out there right away. And if it wasn't for the work of our investigators and the community, you know, once we get that information out there, we learn some things along the way with that incident that, you know, we will do different as we move forward. But in the end of it, when you have people in the area, you know, coming to us with information, once we got it out there, that was huge in helping us get to the person that was responsible for it. And what that individual did was criminal afterwards. Absolutely criminal. You know, when you go and you try to fix your vehicle, change the appearance of your trailer, and that maybe it was a good individual before that, but that was a terrible choice that person made. Should have stopped, stayed there, dealt with it right there, and move on. Fortunately, the person that was hit is going to recover, but it's just a situation that should have been avoided, you know. And like I said, I can't credit our investigator, Scott Goldberg, who oversees all our investigators, and the community in the area, you know, coming forward with, you know, all the Ring cameras, you know, that we do a canvas right away to find out, hey, do you have any video footage that connects to the road or anything like that, you know, and that work together helped solve this case, because we didn't have the actual, you know, striking vehicle hit that individual, but we were able to pinpoint and timeline it where, okay, that vehicle is just happened, and then it passed by, you know, not too far away from where it happened, and we were able to, all right, here's the vehicle, we know it is, and then move forward with that one. And then we had another incident up by the Arpin area where someone's dog got run over while he's walking, you know, while they're walking their dog. And again, we got that information out, and I can't credit our deputies and, again, our investigators working together, getting out there and finding out who was responsible for that as well. So, you know, your concerns when you bring up what you saw last night, that is concerning for law enforcement, and that's something that we need to take back and take a look at. All right, do we need to expand at least having some people out helping with traffic control? Like, hey, we've got an area by the post office where you've got lots of people walking. All right, what's it going to take, like a half hour of our time to say, all right, here's an intersection that we're going to pay a little bit more attention to next year, just to make sure the goal is to keep everybody safe and enjoy that event.
When it comes to getting information from citizens, I think that we say, we've heard before about other topics, if you see something, say something. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Midwest mentality, where we don't like to put our nose where it doesn't belong and some of those things. What would you tell to somebody who may have information and they're in that crux, they're in that in between kind of thing? Is this going to be helpful? Am I even bothering them with this information? Or, you know, should I get it across?
Well, first of all, you know, I'll make it very important. You're not bothering us. If you think you have information, whether it's relevant or not, that's our job to decide whether it is or isn't. So the first thing, you know, I tell people is, if you think you saw something that could be related to something that we're working on, or maybe we don't know anything about it yet, you know, connect with us. You know, you can call our dispatch center, the non-emergency line, or the emergency line, depending on what you witnessed or what you know. You can do that. You can call Crime Stoppers. You know, what we've been finding out as we move forward with technology, you know, people like to communicate on social media. All right, I'm going to tell you right now, we're not there yet. We're there to provide the information out there as quickly as can, but then the follow-up phone calls need to be to either a dispatch center or Crime Stoppers, sending us messages through our Facebook page. You know, we try to do our best by monitoring that 24/7, but unfortunately, with the reality, we don't. We have many people that are assigned to our Facebook page to try to monitor that, but if you're going to report something, that's not the way to do it. You know, maybe in 5 years I could be, but right now it's still using our dispatch center, you know, calling dispatch. You know, if it's something that you feel that can wait, then yeah, you can call our sheriff's department or the police department, wherever you live, whatever municipality you live, and call the non-emergency line to say, I want to at least, you know, provide this information because it's going to bother me. And you go back to any cases, you know, that we're still working on. You know, people always know information, and you should come forward.
I've spent my whole life never being able to understand why people get in car chases with police officers. I don't get it. I don't know what you're thinking in that moment. Obviously, you're not. But yeah. Nobody has ever gotten away. Nobody in human history, nobody's ever gotten away in those chases. So I never understood that. And as we go along here in society, and you bring up the tech end of things, I'm confused more and more why people do anything. Like, I don't even know why people jaywalk anymore. There's a camera that's going to catch you. Like, yeah. Have you seen one episode of CSI? I mean, you can't do anything anymore. I don't even know why you have a job, sir. I do, and I'm joking, but I bring this up because when it comes to, say, this hit and run, and I'm trying to be generic and not to be too specific about a set case here or anything, but a hit and run happens. That's obviously going to take with it some things, jail sentence, certain things like that.
Yeah.
But the idea of trying to cover that up, like, yeah, you are taking a bad incident, and I'm not going to make light of or anything, that you're going to, it's not going to be something that you're just going to breeze through, but you compound it by so much, mm-hmm, by doing some of these actions that some people do to try to cover up their crimes. Right. The covering up of a crime is itself a law broken, correct?
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, going back to the first hit run we talked about, you know, that's bothersome. You know, when somebody takes that step and goes down the path of, okay, I'm going to, you know, get the parts for this vehicle that, you know, I know from my vehicle that are left at the scene. So that's one thing for us to work on and identify that vehicle, and which we did, you know, through the parts that were left at the scene. And then they changed the appearance of, you know, the trailer. It's like you're going down that criminal thinking. And, you know, were you a bad person, you know, before this incident? Well, now you just became one, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to pay for that mistake. Like I said, you know, I look at it, it's all about the victim. The mm-hmm. victim will be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll take time, but you caused that. And do the right thing. You know, hit and runs are hard to solve. Mm-hmm. You know, I think now with, like what we said, with technology, they're, I wouldn't say easier, but, you know, they're we can work on them and have more information to get out there quicker and things like that than years ago. But they're still not the easiest thing to solve, especially that was a pretty stressful weekend for me because that incident happened on a Friday. And I normally go to those situations and I didn't and I'm not saying anything would change, but, you know, okay, our team handled it. We moved forward with it. And, you know, but the longer it went on, the more it bothered me because, if this individual, you know, got his truck fixed, changed the appearance, lied to us about it because we did the canvas, then what do we have? I mean, where's our proof going to be? What else do we have to do to try to prove who did this? And the longer hit and run goes, the harder it is to solve. You know, so it's a situation where, all right, you know what happened, do the right thing.
Not all the information that mom and dad gave us growing up ages well, but certain things do. And with, I know my parents and most parents out there, when you mess up, if you own it, the punishment wasn't nearly as bad. Correct. Still good, still dealt with something, but it wasn't nearly as bad if you owned it. Yeah. Life is no different. The law is no different. You are going to pay a price. That is the way this works. But that price is far different than if you try to compound it and add on to these things and tack on all this stuff. You're never going to outrun the law. You're never going to outrun that. It doesn't make any sense to me. But if we break it down maybe a little bit like this, hopefully it gets through to some people that, well, you could be looking at this amount of years or looking at life. Or something like that. The differences of these things. Right. The differences of making a mistake and being able to grow and learn and evolve from it. And this is who you are now. The differences of those two worlds. I've seen this with DUIs and stuff before. I didn't know that it... I've seen it before with hit and runs, but I some of the details you're telling me of this, it's just... Mm-hmm. There's criminal, and then it's a borderline evil where you're going with some of that. That's... That ain't right.
No, it's not.
But, I need a palate cleanser, sir. I think you do too. Let's talk a little bit about our VFW.
Yeah, our local pollster VFW 2534 did some fundraising for us and did a community ride and raised some money for us for our canine unit. Seems like we get a lot of support what we do for our canine unit. Paul Morrison, part of the group, thank you for your service, Paul. And to the whole VFW, thank you for selecting the Will County Sheriff's Department canine unit to fundraise for. It's awesome, and that brings us into legacy. I could go on for hours about legacy, their board, and especially Mike Bovey. But, and then our foundation, our Acacia Foundation, we put in for a grant for legacy, and Andrea Weiland was behind that big time, and they granted us quite a bit of money to help sustain our canine unit for the next several years, and that just even goes beyond legacy, for just donating to our canine unit, but what they've done for the sheriff's department throughout the last several years is just unbelievable. I'm at a loss sometimes when you sit and you talk about that support, from the community, from the board. And like I said with Mike, it's huge. They not only, stepped up to provide the funding for a canine unit, but they also are going to help fund a rescue truck. We're coming to the life end of that truck. It's been several years we've been kicking around, and those are very expensive vehicles. Mm-hmm. And again, put in for another grant. And I didn't think we'd get both of them, but we did. Hmm. And so we're moving forward with getting a new truck for a rescue unit, which is needed. And they're like $400,000. Yeah, I mean, you think of those kind of vehicles that, fire departments have, first responders have. This is something that isn't cheap. And again, you look at sustainability, and that's our commitment to legacy in the community, is that we're going to continue to move forward with rescue. And it wasn't that long ago that people looked at a different direction, and thankfully they realized that when you have a group of volunteers like Mike Weiberg that we'll throw out there right now, who was just recognized by the county board for 30 years of volunteering his time to Will County Rescue.
Thank you, Mike.
How often does that happen?
Yeah.
That's impressive. Seems you just don't get that very, you just don't see that very often anymore. No. Somebody that puts in that time, and when they do, you really should celebrate them, because what Mike's done for rescue, after just starting to be part of the group and then growing throughout many, many years, many different administrations, many different sheriffs, many, different personnel, and he grew with rescue and is now into a leadership position. And with him being where he's at, that's, again, you look at sustainability, you look at all that experience and commitment, and people want to follow that. And that's why we're so lucky to have our rescue unit. And I think that, they're just taken for granted too much when you have this group of volunteers that are willing to, sacrifice some of their life for their community. Mm-hmm. That rescue unit is a 24/7 operation. And what Mike's done along with the team, their response area is primarily Southwood County. But, the challenge was, getting, you're out there, you're called Wood County Rescue, okay? Not Southwood County Rescue. Right. And he's done a great job with, or the whole team has, getting out throughout the whole county, knowing that any fire department, it could be in Marshfield or wherever, if they need them, it's a phone call, and we will provide that service. And then you see with Legacy, again, stepping up to help us, move forward with the team, because there's going to be a pretty big, expensive, truck that we're going to need. And hopefully within, probably the next year or so, we'll have that. And that's all because of, and not just Mike, but the rescue unit and Legacy willing to, commit to something that the community deserves and needs.
It's not just it wasn't just a funny joke you had there. It was a nice reminder too of how big our county is, mm-hmm. and how important these things are needed. How much these funds help. I think that most of us can gather that and gather how much that can mean, just all of those things. But something that I don't think any of us can understand or relate to, unless it's somebody like yourself or somebody wearing a badge, the support, the part of it. There's not enough of that given to your industry, if I could put it lightly, when it comes to that. How much do you find yourself pulling on that? on a daily, on a weekly basis of pulling on. Yeah,
yeah, it is daily. Daily. Mm-hmm. Like I was talking with Mike before I came on air, you know, just talking about, you know, rescue and, you know, so that communication is always there. And it really depends on the incident. Mm-hmm. And another thing to bring up, you remember, our rescue folks are all volunteers. They have full-time jobs somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. So you look at that and the level of commitment and what they wanted somebody to do to give back to their community. And that's something to highlight. You know, Mike's a full-time pilot for the Wapaka Foundry. So, I mean, you look at the hours that he does to make a living,
mm-hmm.
and then the hours he does to keep our community safe. And that's not just Mike. That's everybody that's on a rescue. Yeah. Like Dave Westfall has been on there for several years. Dave works at our Wood County Highway Shop full-time. Mm-hmm. And you still puts in the time with our rescue. And those are just two people to highlight. It's everybody on our rescue unit that, you know, you can't say enough great things about them and the commitment that they have to our community.
Thank you to Mike, and I appreciate you too, Mike. Thank you for everything you've done for our community. We appreciate you. We're going to take a break. We're talking with Sean Becker from our Wood County Sheriff's Department. Certainly appreciate Sheriff Becker being here with us. Got our good friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media here as well. We'll be back with more on WFHR.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This week's flavor forecast is brought to you by Swiftwater Ice Cream, 300 Market Street in Nakusa. This week's flavor of the week is Black Cherry. Find Swiftwater Ice Cream on Facebook.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The bodies of three swimmers who went under in the Mississippi River on Monday have been recovered. North Star Search and Rescue, along with law enforcement agencies, began the search again this morning after an unsuccessful search yesterday. Two of the bodies were found at 6:53, and the third was found at 7:05 this morning. The Southern Minnesota Regional Medical Examiner's Office responded to the scene and will be releasing the names of those located. We may not have seen the last of the Canadian wildfire smoke or even COVID-19, so a Madison area nonprofit is giving away air purifiers and N95 masks to people who need them. It's happening at the Freedom Inc. office on Luann Lane from 4 to 6 today. 400 air purifiers and more than 1,200 masks are up for grabs. The group will also provide information and instructions on how to stay safe during future air quality alerts. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 56. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 76. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 49. Temps near average Friday and Saturday with highs from the upper 70s to the low 80s. Chance for scattered rain showers Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 72.
Welcome back, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 5th, 2023. Your host, James, here. I hope you're having a good afternoon. We have our good friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department in with us, Sheriff Sean Becker, along with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Thank you to Joe and the gang over there. Sean, thanks again for being here. I wanted to get into this, and we've touched on it a little bit already with the 4th of July wrapping up. Mm-hmm. We had Cranberry Blossom Fest already this year. We've got the ski show coming up.
Yeah.
A lot of big events already this year. How have the events been going over as far as from your perspective?
Good. No, I think that, you know, a lot of the events that have been going on lately, we've dealt with them before. You know, like the ski tournament's going to be July 20th, that coming up that weekend, kicking off on Thursday. But being a proud member or a prior member of the Aqua Skiers, You know what goes into the event, and same with the Sheriff's Department. You know, we've been always been the primary law enforcement agency that, you know, responds out there with Grand Rapids Police Department. But, you know, with an event that you have, you know, happened for over 50 years, which is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
You had that opportunity to prepare for it in the past, but a lot of work goes into to that event at, on many different levels, from Wood County Parks to the Sheriff's Department to the Aqua Skiers to all the teams that come to this community and just the city of Wisconsin Rapids, and, you know, just the impact that that has. But I guess the thing to highlight is, you know, we're fortunate that we have the event, mm-hmm. and we're also fortunate to you know, we've planned for that event many, many times. And a lot of the events that we do have around in this community, you know, we've done something similar. If they're new, we got something to relate to. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, what kind of you know, traffic flow are we going to have for something like this? What kind of pedestrian involvement, or just you know, people coming to watch the event, and then we prepare from there. But yeah, the 20th we'll have the ski tournament. We'll be out there. As far as the Sheriff's Department, nothing's really changed as far as our involvement. You know, most of the teams that are coming here, I think all of them are from Wisconsin, and it's a huge event. And if you get the opportunity to go out and just to watch some of the shows, mm-hmm. I strongly suggest it. My daughter, Jordan, she's one of the tournament directors. I don't know why she bit into this, but
yeah.
I think it was a career or skiing goal. She's still part of the Aqua Skiers. And yeah. She lives up in Crandon, so she's coming back quite a bit during the summer. And she's also on a ski team up in Crandon, so I don't know, you know, how she does it.
Yeah,
I think she has her moments, but we all do, but very proud of her. And this will be the first time that she gets the opportunity to be a tournament director for the state ski show. So, but though, you know, with Jordan, not just Jordan, but the people that that have been doing this for many years. Mm-hmm. Again, they have that experience to bring to the table to make sure that the event goes, you know. Goes off safely, and you know, things are on time, and it always seems like we have to deal with some weather.
Yeah,
you know, but
yeah.
You know, when we did have the strong winds that came through a few years ago, I'll tell you what, you know, you have the ham radio operators that mm-hmm. have spotters all throughout the state, yeah. and that notification system, you know, I think saved lives. You know,
yeah.
when we were told about the storm coming in through, you know, the ham operators, the radio operators, our dispatch center, that communication that continued. We got that information out there. People were put in safe places. And yeah, okay, we can deal with property damage, but we can't change people's lives, you know, that get hurt or worse. So, you know, I like to highlight the, you know, the preparation pays off when you have, you know, events like, or, you know, weather events or other issues that come up. So, yeah, something to look forward to. And again, another event to really highlight is the bluegrass at the lakes.
Let's talk about that.
You know, it's kind of hard not to get emotional on it because, you know, the event is for Brittany Saylor. It's a memorial. And her mom, and then there's a group of people aboard that puts together this event. They've been doing it a few years now. And this year, Jason Joling over at Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department came up with the idea of, you know, talking with the folks over at Bluegrass and the Lake, and they're all Lions Club members from around the area, about, you know, where can we raise some money? And then Jason brought up, well, what about our Wood County CISM team, our Critical Incident Stress Management team? And we'll talk about that. What that is a group of first responders, you know, from there. It's not all law enforcement. It's first responders, you know, fire, EMS, law enforcement, that this group now has been together for a few years that is really focused on the mental health of all of our first responders. So when we, you know, go to a, you know, respond to a tragedy, no matter, you know, what realm you're from, okay, we'll go do our job, you know, and we'll deal with that. We'll work through it. But what we forget about, what about us? You know, what about the first responders that went there and then they saw that tragedy, and how do we deal with it? You know, back years upon years ago, we just, you went home. Yeah. Hey, it's part of your job.
Yeah.
But as we talked before about mental health and how a strong supporter we are of mental health and how do we support our team, this is just, like I said, it's I'm just speechless that, you know, their folks from Bluegrass and Lakes decided that, hey, take Jason's idea and run with it. Hmm. And they raised almost $14,000 from this event.
Ooh.
You know, we did a check presentation last week, and
dang,
I didn't know what to say.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know what to say.
I just, you know, and that's money is going to go towards, you know, further training, you know, and connecting with people, the professionals. Because when what will happen is the SISM group will come out, you know, after we, you know, have an incident, a tragedy that we respond to, and then afterwards we'll do a debrief with the people that went there, you know, having a chaplain there, having people that are trained and certified to, you know, sit down and listen to people as they talk. And a lot of that's good enough to work through it. I've been through a few debriefs in my career, and they really do help, you know, just getting the opportunity to talk about it and not bottling up. But if you're continuing to struggle, then we can connect you with, you know, a therapist or a counselor or something like that. So these funds are going to help us, you know, maintain our SISM group for a long time and give us the opportunity to connect with even professionals that we can get out there to help us if, you know, we're struggling. So, again, you know, Carolyn and John Holberg, Carolyn Saylor, and then the rest of the group, the board of, you know, people that are part of the, you know, Bluegrass and the Lake, yeah, thank you from the bottom of my heart. It sounds like they're going to commit to at least one or two more years of raising money for a SISM group, and it's just nice to see people that, you know, take Jason's idea and then run with it and believe in it and continue to support us because, we see some hard things. And, you know, we've been doing our best to change and support, you know, our first responders, and this is definitely going to help.
I look forward to talking with Carolyn every year when she joins us a couple of times to promote this event and talk about it. And talking off air with her, this was important to her and the board and everybody, the family in general, for a lot of reasons. But especially when she was talking about legacy and she was talking about like the idea of what's the purpose of this event and what's the legacy of this event, the mission of the event in that. And it was beautiful to hear her talk about it. She put it in such great words and how much it means to her. And I hope for you, for your team, for all of our officers out there, you guys know how much we mean to us and how much we care about. We have your back on this. When we are smart with funds, when we are smart with our resources, the things that we can accomplish are to the moon and beyond. We've already proven that as human beings, we can do when we put our resources together, when we're smart about these things. I think a lot of the headaches that we have had, a lot of the troubles we have had for forever when it comes to law enforcement and citizens, let alone in the last 10 years or so, so much of this comes down to not only funds and being smart with them, but our resources and what we do to apply them in the right ways. And the idea of, okay, funds. I think that anybody with two brain cells can tell you that there is a lot on our officers nowadays and a lot there without the funds to back it up.
Right.
When we put those funds into there, I think a lot of the national media, a lot of the people, they talk about, well, why does a small rural town have a tank, you know, or something like that? And they focus on that. They don't focus on this stuff that we're talking about right now, you and I, that sometimes is grassroots grown funds that are brought up. With these funds you touched on, you're able to put into mental health. We talk about mental health a lot. We've been doing a good job of that for a couple of years now. Now it's time to put action to words and for us to be able to put these funds into something like that so that our officers are that much stronger, being able to focus on the next job, the next case, that much quicker.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. You know, and like I said, that's why it's, you know, extremely humbling to hear, you know, people wanting to support us in that regard, because it wasn't always like that.
Yeah,
you know, you know, I'm humbled by the support this community has had for all law enforcement. And, you know, I can talk about the Sheriff's Department but just looking at what, you know, has come forward from the VFW, from Legacy, now Bluegrass, it's a lot of money that people are supporting us with, and it says a lot about our community because it's just not one individual that is donating it. It's many upon many people that live in this area, yeah, that believe in us, that want to support us, and that's very humbling. You know, you go back to the mental health of our first responders, and I go back what makes it so hard to talk about is like, all right, here's a lot of money that's being, you know, money that's been raised for us to help us help our mental health, and if it prevents one person, one first responder from not ending their career sooner than they should have, mm-hmm, the community wins.
Yep.
Bottom line, you're going to get somebody like Mike Weiberg, mm-hmm, that you'll get, you know, 30 plus years in. You know, I mean, and this is the direction that, you know, we need to go. And it's like I said, it's just sometimes I'm just at a loss for words, yeah, when you look, yeah, at the support that people have. It's like even, you know, talking about the jail. You know, you've got a project that is expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, but you look at our county board and the people that they represent, and you know what they did moving forward with the reasons why we need to do this. Okay. And then people will come along and believe in it, mm-hmm, and they did. And that's another thing that I just sometimes am speechless when you drive by the courthouse and you see the work that's being done. It's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, I know there's some growing pains and things that we're working with the community on, just, yeah, with you know, the traffic around the courthouse and stuff, and I understand that can be frustrating sometimes, but in the end, you know, we're going to have something that's going to last, in my opinion, forever.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
that's all not on one individual. You know, it's not on me. Mm. It's on everybody coming together and moving forward with, you know, probably the biggest project this county's ever done.
We're speaking with Wood County Sheriff, Sheriff's Department, and Sheriff Sean Becker with us. Sean, as far as the jail goes, is there any updates on that? Everything going smoothly over there, yeah, as far as that? Because from what I can tell, seems great. Looks like every, yeah, day they're putting in so much more work over there, and that building already looks amazing.
Yeah, no, it's going really well. Talking with, you know, our project managers at the Samuels Group, doing a phenomenal job. Also got to really highlight Ruben Van Tassel, our grounds supervisor. He's staying on top of that project, you know, working with the Samuels Group, and, you know, we're meeting, you know, all the time. And Ruben's done just a phenomenal job as being like our county liaison person to making sure this job is getting done and getting done right. And he's taken that on. I think he was nervous a little bit when you look at a project this size, but he's just done a phenomenal job. So it's on, it's still on target to most likely be done next fall. We'll have to probably work a couple months with no inmates in there just to make sure that the staff is getting used, mm-hmm, to something that's totally new, totally different than what we have now. Yeah. So I'm hoping that we'll occupy it with inmates January, a year from this January. Mm. We did negotiate our last contract housing with WPAC ever. Huh. And that's awesome. You know, I met with their sheriff, Sheriff Wills, and his team, and, you know, we negotiated a one-year contract because we're obviously not going to be done by next year, and our contracts are up. But he didn't gouge us in any way, shape, or form. I think he appreciated the relationship that we've had over the years, and we're still going to be paying about the same rate that we are right now. And the expectation is, boy, we might have to pay more, because if you look at what other counties are charging to house inmates, mm-hmm, it's around $45 to $50 a day. Mm. We'll went up $2 a day to $38 a day. Mm. And if you cost that out, we're still going to be saving quite a bit of money. Mm-hmm. And they're willing to do a month-to-month contract. You know, afterwards, if we're not ready a year from January, okay, then we'll keep going there. And we won't need that Adams County contract anymore. So in the end, we'll be saving some money, about $140,000 a year starting next year. And then the year after it, zero.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, just the money that we've paid throughout the years is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, but hey, I can see the light. We can see the light. Yeah. We'll never have to do that. And just operationally, I always like to tell people we'll be saving money. Even though we added, you know, 9 employees, it'll be cheaper to do that than to pay what we do out of county housing.
Mary's Place here in Wisconsin Rapids recently opened up. I believe, were you there for that? I wasn't sure. I thought so.
And got the opportunity to speak, and that's, you know, again, Mike Bovian legacy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just those.
Mike's ears are burning.
Yeah, but no, those are, you know, those community projects that he helps legacy invest in are just, it's unbelievable. You know, to see that dream you know, come to reality, because we have a Mary's Place up in Marshfield, and then, you know, it's just like the jail. Yeah, they're totally different, don't get me wrong, but mm-hmm. you start talking about it, and then to see it come together, and, yeah. and that is going to have a big impact on people that are struggling. You know, this isn't a homeless shelter. This is transitional housing where people are can come and stay, get on their feet, and then the goal is to move out, you know, get your own housing, whether purchasing a home or finding another place to rent, but getting a lot of help along the way. You know, again, it's not a homeless shelter. There are rules. There's, you know, I mean, you have to abide by the rules to stay there. And I think that was a pretty big hesitation by, you know, neighbors and within the community. But once they think that they realize what this is, it's not a homeless shelter, it's transitional housing, and it's a lot, it's way different. But no, another a community project that is going to help people when they're struggling with housing and life. Mm-hmm. That's another connection that Mary's Place has, is with people that, you know, that can be helped to get sober, or, you know, just some financial plan that connects with all those opportunities out in our community. And there's a lot of people out there that want to help.
It's interesting, Sean, to me, and we have a couple of things we'll touch on. We don't have to spend too much time in the weeds on this, but as we're talking, and I've been thinking about this and this interview over the weekend, doing some homework. After the horrible incident with George Floyd, there was this gigantic push that was going on against law enforcement and a lot of that. And then there was the gigantic push of people against that push. And there was this kind of like almost mini little civil war thing going on there. And we are a couple of years removed from that now.
Yep.
And looking at into the stats of that, looking into the numbers that have come from that since that moment and all those times, we're seeing an overwhelming support of our law enforcement's beginning from a lot of different areas. But I think from one of the more noteworthy areas that I do not see the media is talking about, from inner cities. Mm-hmm. And when I was a kid in the South Side, you didn't call 911. You didn't worry about it and everything. You just didn't even think they'd show up, or this excuse or whatever. Now it's almost the opposite, where it's the first call that's made. It's the first thing that's happening. People are leaning into their law enforcement more. They're trusting their law enforcement more. And I'm trying to figure out, well, what did this? What caused this and everything? What PR team put together a $1 billion thing for law enforcement to get back on the right side of the public eye and all this? And you don't have to do a lot of digging, because it wasn't a PR team. It was people like you. It was officers taking it into their own hands, and with their dash cam videos showing, like a video that just came out a week or two ago that I can't stop watching about this. It was a hot day, and the officer stops and asks the kids if he can use their slip and slide. And by the way, I figured out I am becoming a more and more boring adult. I'm watching this video the first time, and the first thing I think is, oh, I hope his badge doesn't rip the slider. I'm boring. I've become a boring adult, but that's a whole side thing. To me, this is where this began. This is this almost grassroots kind of thing of police officers and police departments using social media to show, hey, this is what's really going on, right, on a daily basis. Like,
yeah,
there are outliers, and those outliers we have to bring attention to. Accountability is as important for the for officers as it is for citizens. But that this is the way that overwhelming norm.
Right.
When you see this, you've experienced all of this, the up, the down, every bit of it and everything. Where do you come out the other end of this? What was seeing all of this happening and how it impacts you and your team?
Well, I think what I'll highlight is the, you know, what you mentioned on, you know, the officer going to slip and slide. You know, that's been going on forever. You know, where you're seeing those opportunities for officers out on patrol just stopping and talking to people, it's that transparency that, you know, that the community expects now. Mm-hmm. And that's the investment that all law enforcement is making towards, you know, dash cams, you know, body cameras, you know, and the expectation that, you know, that they're on. And I'm cool with that, you know, but I will say and highlight that what you mentioned, that, you know, what we're seeing on, you know, on social media and body camera and dash camera footage is that, you know, you're seeing your law enforcement agencies taking the opportunities to, you know, show them to the public. And then what you're seeing is how much support is out there for, you know, not just the Wood County Sheriff's Department, Wisconsin Rapids Police Department, Marshfield, all of our, you know, law enforcement agencies within Wood County. It's, you know, countrywide. And then what's sad is, you know, that, you know, your national medias aren't grabbing that.
Yeah.
You know, what they're grabbing is the negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're still grabbing that.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating for all of us in law enforcement. But what's more gratifying for us, and you don't pay attention to the national part of it, is what's going on locally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you make a post on our page that, you know, has some impact, some positive impact in the community, and then, you know, you pay attention to the likes, you pay attention to the comments,
mm-hmm.
that's gratifying for all of us. And even as a law enforcement leader, seeing that, hey, well, you know, Deputy Zerflu went out and did something really cool in the park and shot, you know, basketball or played kickball. And then just to see what people say about that and how it grows and how many people share it. That's what's important to us, because most of that's staying, you know, locally,
mm-hmm.
you know, unless somebody grabs it and does something else with it. But you know, nationally, yeah, it still can be frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But what we pay attention, and that's you guys,
mm-hmm.
you,
mm-hmm.
And doing what you're saying and celebrating those moments that we can share now with the footage that we get.
Had a recent graduation we wanted to highlight.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, Amanda Edgerly graduated from jail school down in Milwaukee, and we didn't get the opportunity to go down to the ceremony, but I talked to her and you know, appreciated the fact that she spent weeks away to, you know, start her corrections career down in Milwaukee, and she, you know, appreciated that. And you know, I made a lot of friends and professional friends where she really, you know, absorbed that training. So, you know, appreciate, you know, Amanda, you being part of the team and you know, taking the time to go through the training that will help you throughout the rest of your career.
Congratulations to her. Also, I hope she told her parents that she was going to that school beforehand, because if they didn't know, and you just kind of, like, if I wouldn't called my parents up and told them I graduated from that school, they would think something completely different.
Yeah,
it's a different name of a school, but that, congratulations to her.
Yeah.
It also highlights, it's an industry that I don't think people realize all the time, that officers are always going back to school. That
definitely,
officers do that quite a bit, that they're always looking for new training and new angles on things.
Yeah, definitely. No, the state requires us to train our law enforcement officers 24 hours per year. There's certain requirements like emergency vehicle operations, firearms, defense and arrest tactics, and some things that we have to train. But then what we like to do, and it happens at every law enforcement agency, what are you interested in as a law enforcement officer? What are your things that you want to, you know, expand your career on? Maybe it's the special response team, you know, which is a whole different part of training. Or like I'd mentioned, accident reconstruction before in my career, or you want to be a field training officer. So it's our job as law enforcement administrators to make sure that we're communicating with the team and what direction you want to take your career, and how can that help us?
Yeah.
You know, what's always awesome to see people that go in and want to teach, because, you know, if they come and become certified firearms instructor, well, the expectation is not only you're going to maintain that certification, but you're going to train our people. I've always thought that you learn your best from the people you're more familiar with, and that's your team. So we've got a lot of great instructors that we lean back on, and you know, it's that's the way we got to look at things, in my opinion.
Always appreciate the time, sir. Just never have enough of it. Looking forward to next month, though.
Yeah, always. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. You and your team, you guys stay safe out there. Thanks again for the time.
You bet. Thank you.
And a big thank you, of course, to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, Joe and the gang over there. I'll do that better on the second take. I'll get it. Be sure to go to YouTube, subscribe to their page, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and keep up to date on all the great things that they are doing over there. And we'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM, and WFHR, 1320 AM.
The
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Allison Keyes in Washington. People in Philadelphia are outraged and sad over a mass shooting that left five people dead. Police say the masked man in body armor attacked people randomly throughout the city. CBS's Jim Crisula.
40-year-old Kim Brady Carricker was charged with five counts of murder after surrendering to police. Brianna Burnett's boyfriend was among those fatally shot.
He has so much going for himself. He didn't deserve anything. To get his life cut short like this, that's not fair. And he didn't do anything at all to deserve this.
Questions at the White House after cocaine is discovered in the West Wing. The location is accessible to both staff and visitors. Spokeswoman Corinne Jean-Pierre.
It is under investigation. We're going to get to the bottom to exactly what happened. The Secret Service will, not us. And so we're going to let the Secret Service do their job. I'm just not going to get ahead of if or whens or changes. We just have to let the Secret Service do their job, which they are.
In New York City, one of those now known as the Exonerated Five has won a Democratic primary for the city council. Yousef Salaam and four others were wrongly convicted of a rape in Central Park decades ago. Now he's declaring victory.
Early on, I read the story of Joseph in the Bible and the Quran. And finding out that this individual was accused of a crime he didn't commit, the crime was rape, and that he went to prison and he came out and became the greatest statesman in Egypt. I was inspired by that story because I was named after that prophet.
The nation is being divided these days as much by location as by politics. CBS's Christopher Cruz.
Conservatives are moving to red.